What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, area code 512-248-8252. We're talking with David in Boston. And David, what can you repeat the name of that archbishop again so I can make sure to remember when Layla calls in?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Elias, E-L-I-A-S.
Okay.
And then Chakor, some people I think say Chakor, but Chakor, C-H-A-C-O-U-R. C-H-A-C-O-U-R, Chakor. Elias Chakor.
Okay. Now, you wanted to get back to Peter?
Mike, on another topic, just on what Peter brought up, Mike, did you ever listen to years ago, Myron C. Fagan's Illuminati trilogy, the recordings he made with Anthony J. Hilda?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, I know John. It was part of John's awakening, just like it was a part of my big awakening. When I say John, I've got my John Stadtmiller,
Yeah.
And I never call him Mr. Stadtmiller. He says he looks over his shoulder to see if he can see his father. And I know the feeling. I had a father like that too, a dominating father and everything. But so when I say John, I remember hearing John. And I said, geez, son of a gun, that was part of John's awakening. It was a big part of my awakening. But anyways, Myron C. Fagan was so prophetic. He said when the Illuminati truly was about the CFR, and he said the CFR was the continuation of the Illuminati in America. And he talked about the global government and everything. He says when it's achieved, it's going to be achieved through the United Nations. But I remember, and I haven't listened to it in years, that I used to make copies and pass them out to people out of my cab and everything, the Illuminati trilogy. But he said it was going to be composed. When the conspiracy is finally achieved in America, we're going to be ruled over by about a dozen billionaires, he said, and a few scientists, a handful of scientists, and then he also said, and a few economists. And when I think of these billionaires, like Peter brought up, and I also think of these Dr. Fauci, they call them science, like Biden saying, I'm going to follow the science, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Berserks and everything following the science and a few economists. But Myron Fagan, it was so prophetic. But if I can just quickly say this. They also talked about how the Negroes in America would give their full backing to the Negroes in America to elevate them in the field of sports and in the field of entertainment and make stars out of them, sports stars and entertainment stars and movie stars out of them and everything. And it said that this is necessary to give them the status. The social status, so that all these white women will be attracted to them, and promote intermarriage and miscegenation and everything. But Mike,
David. Okay, just as an experiment, would you pull the phone back from your mouth just a little bit because you're distorting?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I put it closer as I talk. Is that better, Mike?
I think so. Anyway, please continue.
Okay. Is that better?
No. Yes, that's better.
Yeah, so you can. Okay, that's about the right. So anyways, I had a friend up in Alaska, up in Anchorage, a good friend. And when he was from California, the San Fernando Valley, but then he started seeking his fortune in Hollywood and everything. But he became very good friends with a man named Mike Kerb. And Mike Kerb had this outfit called the Mike Kerb Singers, and he went on to become like the president and CEO of MGM Records, and then he went on to become lieutenant governor, I guess, under Jerry Brown. But
yes.
I remember my friends telling me that Mike, and this was before I even listened to the Illuminati trilogy, and then it came back to me that my friend told me that Mike Curb said the orders came down from all on high that all love songs were to be sung by black men. No longer, any love songs were not to be sung by white men. They were to be sung by black men. And when I look back on that, Mike, I listened to a station up here, The Music of Your Life, Bob Bintner, up here, WJIB up in Boston, and they play all the old songs, and I listen to these beautiful love songs sung by white men, going back before World War II and during World War II and immediately after World War II, and these beautiful love songs sung by white men. And then suddenly, just like my friend said, the orders went up. Then no more white men were singing love songs. Then it was Nat King Cole and Sam Cooke and, you know, Motown and Smokey Robinson and Barry White. In other words, if you think about it, and the white guys were just stuck with this heavy metal and punk rock and roll, and which is really music that, generally speaking, doesn't appeal to women very much. But they really love those love songs like Sam, you know, like You Send Me by Sam Cooke and all this stuff. And then Mrs. Jones, we got this thing going. But anyways, Mike, it's worked like a charm because, you know, these white women, they don't realize their brain has been tampered with. And you know, at least up here in Boston, you know, in cities like Boston, there's not that much heterosexuality going on. But if there is, you know, the white women are with the black guys. Mm-hmm. And so apparently they've achieved that necessary social status in the field of sport, like the Illuminati trilogy said, in the field of sports and entertainment and all this stuff to make them, you know, in other words, they're associated with just romance and good loving. Man, if a white woman wants romance, real good romance and good loving, hey, forget about the white guy. You go with a black guy if you want good romance and good loving and everything, you know? And it's worked like a charm. And these women, they don't realize their brain has been tampered with. But I'll shut up and see if you have any response to that. You know,
I think we may well get responses to that. I'm dreading it. Anyway, David, I've let you go on long enough here. We're going to let you go and switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine.
Yeah. Mike, I was thinking, I was watching, actually listening to David Knight earlier today. And he played an interview, computer type of conversation that Fauci, that little quack, had with people in Victoria, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And he was praising them for what they did with the Gestapo tactics. He basically said he wishes we could do that here. I felt like shouting to this little turd. Hey, Fauci, you know why you don't do it? That's not why it's not happening here. We have a constitution. We don't swear allegiance to some pedophile family in Buckingham Palace. Okay.
Okay.
Some inbred pedophile family. We also have a Second Amendment, and we don't give up our guns the way Australia did. All right. That's why they don't try this here. They tried to a degree, but they usually back down when they're, you know, so far. And that reminds me of, you know, I was talking yesterday about the possibility of a civil war.
Yes.
And I think it was Layla called in and said, yeah, but it has to be organized religion. I mean, organized militias. I agree. It absolutely would have to be organized militias. You know, one idiot taking on an army or even a bunch of a whole police force just going to get himself killed. May take one or two of them with him, but just going to get himself killed, and then he'll just... But no, it has to be organized. And I believe it really comes down to what it is. We do have organized religions already. I mean, organized militias already. Okay? That's what I That's what I believe. And one other thing is, I made a new YouTube video today. I'm not even sure if it's posted yet to my videos or not. I think it has because I made it about an hour ago. And about Leon Trotsky. Now, Trotsky is involved with a lot of what we're seeing today. Trotsky was a revolutionary, and he was supported in this country before he went over to work to help the Bolsheviks overthrow the Tsarist government. He was put up in the Bronx by a guy by the name of Jacob Schiff, who was a he was a Rothschild agent, and he also was supported by the Rockefellers, the Morgans, and people like that. All the big banksters, big oil execs of the time, you know, the robber barons. So what happened is, when he went over to, after the revolution, he got into it with Stalin. And as bad as Stalin was, and he did murder a lot of people and all, and he was a paranoid, schizophrenic in a lot of ways, but Stalin was also a Russian nationalist. He was a patriot.
Yes.
His patriot, you know, he wanted communism for Russia. He didn't want to push it around the world. He didn't want to use it as a globalist tool. While Trotsky wanted to use the Red Army today, the way that using the U.S. military today to push revolutions, regime changes all over the world. This is why a lot of your Russia-hating scumbags today, like Schiff, Adam Schiff, who I believe is probably a descendant of Jacob Schiff. I cannot prove it. I've been trying to search. Now I'm using DuckDuckGo now. I got rid of Google. I'm going to see if I can find it on DuckDuckGo, because I believe he is related in some respects. And the thing is, these Trotskyites today, now they call them neocons and neoliberals, they have it in for Russia going back to the Stalin years. Because Stalin, after all, also had Trotsky killed in Mexico City in 1940. That's what I believe is behind a lot of this stuff. And it's behind a lot of these regime change wars. It's behind these, these crazies who really, you know, like, Bill Kristol, Victoria Nuland, and her husband, Kagan. I think, Robert Kagan. That's what's going on, Mike. It all goes back to Trotsky, much of it. He was a globalist, wasn't really a communist. He just wanted to push revolution around the world. And the big banksters of the day, the big oligarchs of the day, really, they loved him. And I hope people watch unfortunately, I wasn't able to make a very long video because YouTube will only allow me a few, short amount of time, I think under 15 minutes.
Yes. So,
but I put as much as I could in here, and I'm going to make more videos about this. Because the key to a lot of what's going on today is Trotsky. This was an evil SOB, Mike. He was by the way, Antifa is more Trotskyites than they are Stalinist or anything else like that. They're very, very similar tactics and all that that Trotsky used. And by the way, they love Trotsky. Okay?
Yes.
I got people, unfortunately, relatives of mine, who are Trotsky lovers, and they also love Antifa. Okay, we share information on Facebook. Pretty soon, I'm going to be unfriended by them anyway. But they are relatives of mine. So, you know, craziness, sometimes you don't know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But that's basically it, Mike. I think a lot of the problems today are these Trotskyites. I believe they are in both parties of this country. They run both parties in many ways. This is why somebody like Tulsi Gabbard couldn't get the first base. Right away, she was a Russian asset. That's why they're saying,
yes,
now
I remember that.
About Biden, that this is just, this is just Russian misinformation. You know, it's not working. It's backfiring on it now. And, Mike, right now I'm pretty confident that Trump is going to win by a landslide. He's going to need a landslide because with all the cheating going on, he is going to need a landslide, but I believe he's going to get it. I think the momentum is there. All right. Even though I'm not thrilled with the man, I realize, you got to go to the horse. The horse you give him. You know what I mean?
Yes. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yes. The enemy is too dangerous, and you see what kind of scum they'll put up. A guy like Biden, who barely knows what planet he's on, and on top of it, is as crooked as the day is long, with his crackhead son, and yet the Democrats put up some. Somebody like this. They're not the old Democratic Party role. This is a new and this is a Trotskyite party. even more Trotskyites than the Republicans. You know, even though the neocons and the Republicans are very, you know, also Trotskyite, but the Democrats have become even more Trotskyite in their ways, right? And and it's basically it, Mike. People got to get wise. You know, we are in danger, and God forbid if Biden wins this election. We are in so much, I think that might, well, I don't think it's the end of the United States, but I think we're going to divide. I think we're going to, the country is going to just split up. That's what basically would happen.
Yeah, I think if Biden wins, well, it almost doesn't matter who wins. The nation is facing a crisis that could, in fact, balkanize it.
It could, but I think we have a better shot if Trump is in there. Let's say the Democrats say what they, you know, they're threatening that they're going to feed like Washington, Oregon, California. First of all, if they tried that, they would only get the coastal cities of these states. Most of middle, if you go to the center of Oregon, Washington, California, or the eastern part of those states, those people are loyal Americans. They're middle Americans, okay? They believe in the Second Amendment. They're every bit of, you know, they're basically middle Americans. They're not going to go along with that. So it would be basically these coastal cities, and they could be crushed in 2 minutes, okay? And the Navy could put in a blockade, and it'd be done right there. And plus, probably the militias from the center and the eastern part of these states would move on them also. They'd move into the cities and help the Navy restore order. So that's what I think, Mike. I don't think the idea that they're going to secede is any kind of danger. I mean, it may be a danger, but they'll be crushed in very quickly. That's why, you know, even though I'm not thrilled with Trump, far from it, I got to go with him. All right?
Well, I understand that, yes. All right, well, Mark, thanks an awful lot for your phone call and your input, and we're going to switch over to Paul in New Jersey. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Michael, I got to give the kids on the left, you know, even the Antifa kids, a lot of credit, because at least they're honest enough to realize they are socialists. But the fact of the matter is, among the Trump supporters out there, they're voting knowingly for a socialist. It's just he's a socialist or who doesn't call himself a socialist. As I said to you the other day, Donald Trump has run up the debt from $19.6 to $27 trillion at the moment.
Yes, and as I said in response to that before, a lot of that had to do with emergency spending to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. So it's not like Trump sat down and said, I have hereby decided I'm going to run the debt up. It's not like he had much of a choice.
Well, yeah, but he was on schedule to get it up to $24 trillion. If there was no coronavirus, he was right on schedule, because last January it was about $23 trillion before the coronavirus happened. So he is spending at the same rate as Obama is, and running up the debt at the same rate. Now, that's not very conservative, for one, and it's definitely not an old-style form of government. Actually, it is exactly what John Maynard Keynes advocated. He was an open socialist, and he thought it was very good for the federal government to spend money, lower taxes, to increase economic activity, and tacitly run up the debt to forestall a recession. And okay. Donald Trump has been doing that the past few years. He's been doing it. Also, we have the plunge protection team. That's as socialist as you can get. You have the which props up stocks and channels money over to 401ks. That's socialist. It's redistribution of money, whether it's either borrowed or printed from the Federal Reserve. And so any notion out there, and that's what's amazing about these guys with the Trump flags trying to get in fights or whatever they want to do with the liberals in these altercations, they basically are socialists fighting other socialists. And on that note,
Michael. Paul, I got to let you go. We got to take a break to commercials. We'll be back with more phone calls.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay.
Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go right back to the phones to Fred in Las Vegas. Hello, Fred. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? We lost Fred, apparently, so we're going to go to Ray in Arizona. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I just an answer to your last call is that Trump has no intention of worrying about the debt because he's going to cancel it. His intention is to find criminality in the Fed and eliminate it. And so he's spending this money pretty much like running after credit cards and filing for a Chapter 7. So, you know, these guys that are trying to go into this finance and looking at historic cycles and trends, they're going to lose their shirt if they continue to go along the traditional lines.
Well, you know, we keep seeing these Democrats and economists who keep coming out and saying, well, the debt doesn't really matter. At least that's what they were saying during the Obama administration, that the debt is just a number, a bookkeeping entry, and that it's not really expected we'll ever pay it back, which, of course, we can't.
Right. But that's a different consideration because the Obamas, they were going to terminate not the Fed, but the country. Okay, I mean that's what the last president was supposed to be Clinton. And the Fed, the central banks, were trying to push this war, which Clinton would have gotten into. We would have been losing the war, and they would have used that as an excuse to collapse the currency. And we would have been in deep trouble, where Clinton was going to bring in the UN to stabilize the nation. That was the plan, okay? That was the actual 16-year plan to end this nation. And they got disrupted by Trump's election. So that's, you know, but honestly, that's what was supposed to happen, and that's what they still want to try to make happen.
Okay.
Okay, but anyway, I called, I want to clarify something. We talked about the Chinese troops, and I meant to say Long Beach Port was given to them in 98. They had missile guidance systems was given to them in 1997. The Panama Canal was given control in 2000. They've been in bed with the Chinese for decades, all the Democrats and a lot of the Republicans. And I just wanted, the Bundy project was happening because the Chinese were trying to open a solar project around
yes.
the fringes of where the Bundys were using as grazing rights. And but anyway, the thing is, what I called about is the COVID was also part of the plan of that's been for decades, that once they established effective control of this country, that they were going to release a really devastating version of COVID, and they would have used that as a reset, the great reset for the world. I'm sure you're starting to hear about the great reset from Europe.
Right? I'm hearing a lot about the great reset. I'm also familiar with the Georgia Guidestones, which says the human population should be trimmed to only 500 million globally.
Correct. Yeah, that's everything's tied in. You know, but the great reset that they're pushing now is still the usual suspects. The IMF, you know, is going to run it, that type of thing. And basically what it is it's like a debt forgiveness for everybody, right?
Yeah, but a jubilee.
You have to give up your possessions. You have to take the vaccine. You have to be relocated. See what I mean? And they're pushing it in a different way. They're pushing it, this is plan B, because plan A was foiled for them, right? This is what the Great Reset is, so people don't fall for that Great Reset. Now, as far as Trump and his alliance, I mean, he has a worldwide alliance. I mean, these people, if you saw when Trump, when he went to the Saudis, that sword dance thing, what basically what they're doing was, hey, we're going to eliminate the central bank world's dominance, and they have their own type of program. You've heard of Gisara and Nasara?
I've heard about it, but I tend to think it's disinformation to get people looking in the wrong direction.
Well, see, that's the Nasara is actually a law that was passed, and it was supposed to be announced before 9/11, but, well, it wasn't. And the Gisara basically, the Gisara is the global, and the Nasara is a national. And the Nasara is a basic where everything that the central banks took from us in usury from the beginning is going to
yes.
come back to us. That's what the basic plan is. See what I mean? So if you think about it, Mike, why all of a sudden peace is breaking out throughout the world? I mean, who would have thought 10 years ago Israel and the Saudis were going to start, you know, in BFL.
Well, I don't know how well that's working out, looking at what's going on in Sudan right now. Anyway, listen, Ray, I need to let you go. We got to take another break for commercials. We got more callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And welcome back to our show. We're going to go back to the phones to Joe in Tennessee. Hello, Joe. Welcome back to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike. You know, I mean, with that caller from New Jersey, I mean, anytime Trump spends money under the way he wants to define the terms makes him a socialist. I mean, you know, just because the amount of money we're spending, you know, Ronald Reagan wasn't a socialist, but he outspent a lot of presidents before he did. And Trump, I don't consider him a socialist. He spent a lot of money building the military, spent a lot of money, like you said, with the COVID. You know, I mean, it's how you spend the money. But I don't think the fight is really between, you see these riots and Antifa versus Trump supporters. That's not a fight about socialism. That's a fight about globalism versus nationalism. That's nationalism. That's the, and the people who don't like nationalism. You know, it's the Antifa BLM fight. It's cultural Marxism versus American values. It's Satanism, basically. You will find a lot of Satanists in the Antifa movement versus Christendom. It's anarchy versus law and order is what it is. So to say it's socialism versus non-socialism, I mean, I don't know many Trump supporters that don't want Social Security. That's this form of socialism. So I just think that argument's kind of weak. But I called because of the election. And, you know, I was thinking about something. When Trump won the election the first time, and Hillary didn't concede till like 4 a.m. And when Trump came out, remember what he said? He said, it's very complicated business. And I'm kind of wondering if he made a deal with Hillary. Like, we beat you, you concede, and we're going to lay off putting you in jail and any investigations on you. Because why else would he say that? It's complicated business,
It's entirely possible. It's entirely possible. Hillary and her people, we saw the rioting in the streets and everything, and it may in fact be possible, because there certainly have been no real investigations into the Clintons or the Clinton Foundation. I know that there have been efforts more at the grassroots level to try and get something going, but it's always being blocked. The Clintons are untouchables. They're tied in with the Central Intelligence Agency. So are the Bushes. So are the Bidens, apparently. And we're seeing right in front of us just how much the deep state is going to move to protect Biden. Because if you really think about it, they're protecting all of them. Because if the Bidens go down in flames with all this corruption, then the American people are going to say, yeah, now it is time to investigate the Clinton Foundation and the Clintons. It is time to look at the Bushes. And it's time to look at all of the politicians who somehow become multimillionaires on the rather small salary of being a member of Congress. And I think that's why there's almost a sense of panic to somehow make this go away. And, we're seeing the corporate media basically out there. They're literally betting their own future on a Biden victory or a Biden theft.
Well, and I've called before and said I never understood why she conceded. It didn't make sense. But now thinking about it and what he said, it's complicated business. That means he's on the phone or his people are making communications. What's complicated about saying, hey, we won? So I'm thinking
there's nothing
maybe
complicated
Biden
about that. I think it wasn't a case of Hillary conceding. She had to concede,
she didn't. They're not going to concede this time unless there's a deal, and I think that's what they're doing. I think Biden's setting up for another deal, like, do you want us to stretch this out and last, or are you going to give me the deal that Clinton got? I tell you that when you think
that's
about
a good
it,
thought. That's a good idea. Yeah, you could very well be right.
This is about the last bit of pressure they're going to have in order to get this whole thing to go away. I mean, they got him dead to rights if Barr would just go after him. So maybe that's the deal. Like, all right, look, we'll let you win, and you can declare victory, but everything goes away, and we can go ahead, One quick question to Mark and Layla about guns and fighting. I disagree with the whole idea of a militia, in that a militia works right into the centralized authority's hands, in that it's all, every militia out there has probably got 3 FBI agents reporting to the central headquarters.
Absolutely. A lot of those militias have been organized by FBI undercover informants, so the FBI knows where they are.
And when they need a big press story, they wind them up and then have this thing like happened to Whitmer and happened once before, the Atari militia or whatever. Anytime the FBI looks bad, so they want to make themselves look good or make white people look bad. So I really think if it ever comes to blows or they start being a very authoritarian, totalitarian government, you really have to go the lone wolf mode. You really have to use the hive mind. Yeah.
I'm really troubled. I'm really troubled by all this talk of militias and arms and lone wolf mode. I realize there is already violence in the streets of America, which I find appalling. Americans fighting against Americans. I'd really like to avoid an escalation on that. I would like to see more of a Gandhi-esque approach to dealing with these problems. And as I said earlier in the week, this revolution is not going to be fought and won with guns. It is being fought with keyboards. And to judge by the panic reaction we're getting from the corporate media, we seem to be having an effect.
You have to make it apparent to the powers that be that if they are going to go to the mattresses against the people, that the people are going to hurt them back. I mean, they can't just start releasing bioweapons and doing things and expect people to just be Gandhi. I hope we can be Gandhi. I hope there can be peaceful but it doesn't, I mean, it seems to me like Kennedy's words where when you make peaceful revolution impossible, you make, violent revolution inevitable.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's where we're heading. And my point is that to fight a centralized power, you need to use decentralized tactics, because especially with the increase in technology and surveillance state,
yes,
forming militias and marching around and under banners and things is ridiculous. I do agree, though, with the keyboards is very important, because there's ways to, like, throw monkey wrenches into the system through your computers and such. It doesn't have to be violence with guns, but it does have to be decentralized. That's my whole point. You're talking
leaderless resistance, which is impossible,
exactly.
Which is very, very difficult to put down. I imagine people might adopt the so-called cell structure of certain Middle Eastern groups, where each cell is very small, and they're not known to the other cells, so that if they get caught, they can't expose the whole network.
Yeah, well, my days of doing stuff like this, we were never even thinking of any kind of violence with the 9/11 truth movement, but even us with our being unviolent, we were like infiltrated, and they tried to entrap us, and we were just giving out DVDs. Just so I realized what it means if it goes to, like, that they raise the stakes, my whole point about it is that if you join in a militia, you might as well be, you know, you're going to, everything about you is going to be known, because the guy next to you is going to be working for the state. So that was my point towards Layla and Mark in that. So I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call, and we are going to switch to Layla in Canada. Hello, Layla. Your ears must be buzzing. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I called initially to respond to Dave, but I think the last caller makes an excellent point. I was wrong in using the word militia.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, he's right. They are always infiltrated. Now, I'm going to reveal something that my husband was actually one of those who was planted by the FBI in the Detroit Windsor area in order to keep track of potential militia, as well as to keep track of the Arabs who are considered a potential threat to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, he used to actually attend militia camps. This was during the 80s, during the survivalist movement, and there were different militias. Now, I think one of the reasons I'm revealing that is because I think we have to accept the fact that not all the FBI is sinister or evil or polluted, or, and at one time, they actually did serve a good purpose. However, they were always under the control of Israel. The reason my husband became interested in me was because after I went to Lebanon in 1971 and was pursued by the PFLP to be recruited as a hijacker like Leila Khaled, well, I'm going back to 71. 2 years later, I went to the University of Jerusalem. And and while I was in Lebanon, the Mossad tried to recruit me as well to be a counter agent, which I, of course, refused and came back to Canada. After that, Lebanon just exploded. So subsequently, in 73, I went to Israel, attended the university, the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. When I came back, suddenly my husband showed a huge interest in me. It's only 20 years later that he revealed to me that he had been asked to keep track of me, to find out if I was a threat in any way.
Well, there's a happy ending to the informant story.
Well, actually, he told me this because I was at that time getting phone calls from Yasser Arafat's brother, Fethi Arafat, constantly calling me and telling me it was my duty to the Palestinian people to come and at least come and join as an advocate for medical care for Palestinians, because he was the head of MAP, Medical Aid for Palestine.
Yes.
Problem was that he wanted me to leave Canada and move to Geneva, where the WHO was located, and also to Egypt, to Cairo, where the medical aid for Palestine was located. And I said, I can't. I've got, you know, I will not do it. I will speak on your behalf for medical aid only here from Canada. Because at that time, my husband was suffering from brain damage from repeated concussions to his head. My mother was dying. The last of my three brothers was dying, and I had a young son to look after. So it was I could not do it. But it was then when after Fathi Arafat phoned me again, pleading with me to join, that my husband, after I was done, my husband said, "Leila, do not go. They will chew you up and spit you out. And be aware that you are being surveilled anyway." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And then he told me about 1973.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, and it had not been for the fact that he had lost the inhibitions that normally he would have had because of his illness, I don't think he would have told me as much as he did. But, you know, he was very good in the sense that his reports were accurate. None of the Arabs that were peaceful people ever underwent any harassment. He mingled with them and even would go to Toronto conventions. His job was to keep track to make sure that the U.S. was safe from potential subversives located in Canada, because I think they were then well aware of the potential of communism and other subversive movements in Canada that would use that open, porous border to go into the U.S. and perform their functions. Anyway, so to get back to Dave's question about Ilyas Shakur, Ilyas Shakur is one of many good men who are dedicated to humanity and to spiritual development, which is one way through which people can find a bond, regardless of skin color or other ideologies. Unfortunately, the Nobel Prize has always been used as a political tool to advance politicians that the Zionists wanted to elevate, such as Lester Pearson, who got a Nobel Peace Prize he did not deserve. It should have gone to the very first UN mediator, who was a Swede, a noble man, a family of nobility, actually, Count Folk Bernadotte. He was assassinated in 1948 in Jerusalem, in September 1948, because he was the very first mediator, and his job was to bring peace between the Palestinians and the Zionists. And so it was Yitzhak Shamir who ordered the assassination and who boasted about it. But anyway, that Nobel Prize was never given to that man. It was given instead to Lester Pearson, who had already become a tool of the Zionists because he was so easy to blackmail. He was reportedly homosexual, as well as he came home from the Second World War stuttering and suffering from shell shock, even though he never even saw action. John English reported that in his first biography of Pearson, but now you can't find it because the stories of Pearson begin after the any biography only begins with his life after 47. So the Nobel Prize is a political tool.
Yes, it is.
Ilyas Shakur, yeah, exactly. And as for and the way the Nobel Prize has been manipulated is because the Rothschilds, Amschel Meyer, the original family name, they were in Baku, Azerbaijan, ironically, at the same time, both of them increasing their fortunes with the oil in Baku. And that was where they were both rivals, but eventually made their mutual deals. So that's how they know each other. But anyway, back to the question of how many priests. You know, one of the ironies is that the symbol of Jesus Christ was the idea that he was supposed to bring what he represented was supposed to bring peace among people, and a sense of and a recognition of our humanity, of the oneness of our humanity. And instead, mm-hmm. the church, because of ambitious people, and each one wanting their doctrine to be dominant over the other, all the churches of the Middle East. In the old days, each of them had their own theory on the Trinity, the dual nature of Christ, the oneness of the divine God being within Christ. They ended up fighting over details like that so that each of them yeah. could have their power. And this is the problem where there's any kind of power structure, and the religious industries are that. So when you have good men like Elias Shakur, and I don't want to leave out the Muslims either. There were so many good imams who also sought peace. And we have to remember that the imams recognized Jesus Christ as a divine, as a holy person, a divinely inspired person.
Okay, Layla, we got to let you go. I'm sorry. We've got to take a commercial break. Back to the last segment of our program after these few words.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932.
Can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here. Last segment of the program today, we're going to try and jam these last few calls in, starting with Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good day, Michael. Aloha. Yeah, Mike, what's on my mind? Some of your calls took a long time, but what's on my mind is you're talking about the voting with the rigging of the voting. I do believe like last 4 years ago, you had the illegals voting like crazy. You're going to have a lot of dead people vote counting for the demon rats. And that's something we got very concerning that illegal, millions of more illegal aliens are here voting, dead bodies are voting, and the demon rats, that's their modus of operandi. But you know what, Mike, what I really want to talk about is how come nobody in the Republican Party, I mean, really got in the face of Biden or Kamala Harris and asked them, hey, why did you refute what this guy's saying on Tucker Carlson about you, Joe Biden, why you, Hunter Biden, and you, Jim Biden, all you Bidens, bumbling Biden, lying Bidens. All the lying Bidens are getting away with murder. And a lot of your calls, they all keep some of this crap up about, I'm not going to vote for Trump. Hey, don't vote for him. And you watch your country totally collapse. And you end up like Cuba. You end up like Venezuela or all these other third world countries, Nicaragua. No, we don't need that crap. And you know what? These blue state bluers, they're always going to be blue, Mike. And you know what? You were living in Hawaii. If you would have got out of that state, you would have, even if you voted and you're conservative, your vote would have counted for nothing. You're in Indiana now where your vote actually does count for something. And Claire's vote counts for something. And it's something to be proud of. Hey, man, the guy I want is winning. Not, how can you, I'd go crazy if I lived in some of them blue states. Every time I had an election come around, I would go out and vote and do everything I could to help the other candidate. But knowing I'm overwhelmed, I'm swamped, it's like a swamp, a tsunami coming at you with demon rats with their liberal ideology. I mean, come on. Not only are you living in a state, you're freezing your butt off up there in the New England states. You're voting for a bunch of, look, Mike, you know that one lady that she was just calling you. Let's get to the real fact of something. How come the Jews can call themselves the Jewish Defense League? Why don't we call the, instead of the white militias calling themselves militias, why don't they call them the White Christian Defense League? The White Christian Defense League.
They would be denounced as racist. They would be denounced as racist.
Well, wait a minute, Mike. I don't know about that. I don't know about it because the Jews get away with that. The Jewish Defense League in New York gets away with it.
They get away with a lot of stuff that other people can't do and say.
Well, I think the whites just say, you know what? From now on, we're going to be called the Christian Defense League. And we're going to defend our Christian honor. That's what I think. And I think, you know what? The media would have, they'd be tongue-tied. They'd be twisted up like a pretzel. That's what you got to do with these schmucks. I call them putzes, Mike. You got a bunch of putzes out there. Putzes. That's exactly what they are. So I know you got another caller. So, hey, thank you for taking my call, Mike. Have a great day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to take a call. I don't know if we've got time for it. Keith Rogers, what's on your mind? Keith dropped. Okay. Then Daniel in British Columbia, we've got like a minute left. What's on your mind? Also gone. Okay, well, that actually works out rather well. We are out of callers just when we're out of time, and we're coming to the end of the program. The music is going to start any minute here, and we're waiting for the rain to start here for our little flood watch. So stay tuned for John Stenmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Please spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. We are literally in the fight of our lives here against Biden's and liberal socialist transformation of our country. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, We can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your work.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.